Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining me in the studio is Carl Colby, who's a director and producer and an award-winning documentary filmmaker who has made films about such subjects as Franz Kline, William de Clooney, Bob Marley, Frank Gehry, George Harrell, and Franco Zeffirelli. And his latest film, which is about his father, The Man Nobody Knew, In Search of My Father, CIA Spymaster William Colby, which opens tomorrow, October the 14th, at the New Art in West L.A. Welcome to Background Briefing, Carl Colby.
Thank you, Ian. Glad to be here.
And this is, a subject you know well, your father, but on the other hand, you didn't really know him.
Well, exactly. Like, that's why it's called The Man Nobody Knew. A bit facetious, but at the same time, in making other films, particularly with people like Franz Kline, I remember interviewing dozens of people. And at the end of the day, I thought, my God, they all know a different Franz Kline. And I interviewed over 85 people on this film and really, spread a wide net. And I kind of came away with a different Bill Colby sort of from each angle. And it was a very strange process. I almost just didn't do it at all. And you might think, I've been making documentaries. Why wouldn't I have turned the cameras on my father much earlier on, and especially before he died? But whenever I'd sort of think about that and broach the subject and sort of approach him about that, and particularly when I would ask him sort of tough questions, personal questions, why did you divorce my mother? Or why do you care about CIA? Or why? He might answer that, but he wouldn't answer, tell me the motivation. And he would say, well, that's your department, friend. He had very good at compartmentalization. It's as if he could be looking at you with a straight face and talk about the weather, and someone could be sawing off his right arm. Someone could be sawing off his right arm and he wouldn't flinch. It was very bizarre.
So the film opens, of course, with news clips of the mysterious death of your father. And he was missing for a number of days, canoeing on Chesapeake. And it sort of starts the process of mystery. So give us a sense of your childhood, Carl Colby, growing up with a father who ended up running the CIA. Was it always mysterious? Did you ever know where your dad went to work? And did he ever? How was your day at the office today, Dad?
Right. Actually, it was very strange. I only spent 2 weeks in the United States when I was born, and then shipped off to Sweden, and then from there to Italy. We lived in Rome and down near the Colosseum, and then up in the Via Cassia across the way from the daughter of De Gasperi, the prime minister. We always seemed to be living very close by very high dignitaries, and once wondered whether that wasn't just purposeful. And so at first I simply thought he worked for the embassy. He worked as...
Well, he was undercover probably at the embassy.
Absolutely. His cover was diplomatic cover, which my mother in the film says is sort of a perfect cover, because it's not as strenuous as having to pretend you're a businessman or be in some sort of very surreptitious work. And
right, and if anything goes wrong, you've got to get out of jail pass because you've got diplomatic immunity.
Right, and you get thrown out of the country. You won't get shot. Right. And so at the beginning, it was all sort of, I thought he worked for the embassy. And then I was on the diving board of the Cirque Sportif in Saigon in 1961. And a friend of mine turned to me and said, your dad's a spy. And I said, no, he works for the embassy. He said, no, he's CIA. He's an agent. He's a spy. And I thought, God. And I went back and asked my father. I said, well, I heard you work for the CIA. And he turned to me and sort of gave me one of those wan smiles and just said, well, let's keep that our little secret.
Again, we're talking about the film, The Man Nobody Knew, In Search of My Father, CIA Spymaster William Colby, by his son, Carl Colby, who's joining me in the studio. So, Carl, most of our audience... First of all, a lot of people around this building think I work for the CIA simply because I talk to ex-government people, because I figure they're the ones with the secrets.
Right.
I'm a journalist. I want to find out what's going on.
Right.
It's logical to my mind, but who knows? But the long and the short of it is, as you well know, a lot of people think the CIA is worse than the devil. Now, tell me about the bad stuff. And was there any time in your relationship with your father the Phoenix program, of course,
right,
and other things that he was involved in, ever came up, or with your mother? Or give us a sense of that.
Yeah, the film really delves into that. And obviously, if I hadn't gone into that, I would have just been whitewashing it. What's the point? I think ultimately it's a morality tale. And that's how it played out in our family. It was as if there was a struggle for the moral high ground in our family. My mother was a devout Catholic, and so was my father. But it had to be moral. It had to be good. It had to be right what you're doing. And your audience might think, well, that sounds very naive. It's CIA. But my mother understood there will be war. There can be war. There have been wars, and there will be. And deception has its place. But it had to be moral. So when she saw him engaged in things like the aftermath of the Diem coup, where he was murdered, I mean, President Diem and Nodin knew and Madam knew. We used to go to their house. We socialized with them. I knew their children. I mean, this was devastating to see this happen. My father was against the coup, but he went along with it. And so you start chipping away at what you're taking on as in faith and in trust that what he's doing is the right thing. So particularly, in a sense, one of the tricks of the film is I grow up through the course of the film. At first, I'm a young, adoring 7-9-year-old boy who loves his dad, you know, the ex-OSS paratrooper. But then when I see him engaged with generals and police in Vietnam and bodies start coming back in bags and you see victims of really horrendous acts of violence and napalm being just destroying a countryside that I had known and places that I'd been to, you ask questions. And his questions all seem very logical. You know, I'm trying to help the villagers and we're trying to root out the infrastructure, the VC. But as happens in the film, and it's shown by all sorts of footage, I look to the side and I see on television, you know, napalm destroying villages and people running around naked and burned, their flesh burning. And you wonder, to what end? I mean, whose God are we fighting under? And so the film really becomes a struggle for the truth with my mother, myself, and my father.
Your parents divorced, and how old were you when that happened? That was pretty late in life, because I remember that was
what? Well, you're giving away the punchline in the film.
Okay, well, let's not do that.
But that's okay. I mean, I know. What's interesting is that all this tension builds up.
Right.
Because here's this wonderful sort of war hero, and my mother is Barbara Stanwyck with an Ivy League education, a New York chick, you know, from Greenwich Village, literally, went to Barnard. I mean, the kind of girl you'd go out with and have a lot of fun with, you know. And it all is terrific. And as you say, in the 50s, it's all lovely and romantic. And who are we tonight? She would literally say, well, what cover are we tonight? Who are we pretending to be? And it all sounds very romantic. And then my father and I and our family would go off to the north and on a little picnic. And we would drop a radio to somebody in the woods. And, well, what's that about? Or priests would come to the house. And why are there so many priests here? And why are there cardinals and bishops? And this is not religious. This is political. He's winning an election. He's passing money through the Vatican. So I think what became of all this was that it's all well and good at that stage. But I think by the 60s, after the Bay of Pigs and after the Vietnam War gets going in earnest, you know, we all started raising a lot of questions.
Well, we won't give it away, Carl Colby, but the film, you know, we talked about the dark side, but your father did show great courage in the church committee hearings and he told me about how frustrating it was with James Jesus Angledon running counterintelligence, who might as well have been working for the Soviets. I mean, he totally relied on the Israelis, who were playing the Americans. They had the only assets inside the Soviet Union, at least that after we'd lost everybody. And he alone, Angledon, was the one who fueled the Cold War paranoia by exaggerating the Russian bear. And we all know that the Russian bear was a myth. It was all a Potemkin village, you know, a third world country with nuclear weapons, and that one day it collapsed. And it probably could have collapsed a lot earlier.
Right.
Right. And your father finally just had to get rid of this guy because he was destroying the agency from within.
And it was strange, as you know, I mean, because you know this history so well, that Angledon himself, a great Anglophile, had been completely snookered by
Philby
back in 63 and 64. I mean, here he'd been passing the top secret information on all of our operations to the number two, really, at the time, Philby, who was working for the Soviets all the time.
Right.
I mean, imagine what – I'm surprised that Angledon just didn't collapse out of just sheer nervous breakdown, that he even continued in the job. I mean, to have your closest associate turn on you like that must be something. See, my father was not
– But he had a hard time firing him. I mean, he had – and he took on – quite a lobby, that kind of right-wing lobby in Washington itself, you know.
I mean, my father ran afoul because when those Church and Pike hearings started going, let's face it, the American public had not been, the Congress certainly, and the Democratic Congress had not been let in on any decisions of any merit, you know, leading on to the war in Vietnam. So now all of a sudden the war's over, we lost. And all this is coming out about the CIA. Well, God, what have we been doing since the Eisenhower mind control experiments on unwitting human guinea pigs, LSD experiments, assassinations, many assassination attempts? And so my father took it all in. And I think really one of the discoveries I made in the film is I really think he was angered by being fired, but he was kind of the sacrificial lamb, the phoenix himself.
Right.
I think he took it all in and said, you know, we're going to burn, but let me burn as long as the ship stays afloat, which I think is what happened.
Right. But, you know, of course, didn't George W. Bush fire him?
No, Ford fired him, but I think something you've...
I mean, it's not George W., I should say H.W.
No, H.W. Bush...
succeeded him. Right?
Bush 41 replaced him, Ford. And as Woodward says so memorably in the film, he asked Ford, he said, well, why George Bush Sr. to be DCI, head of CIA, after your father? He said, I wanted a loyalist. And he said, who do you consider loyal? And it's the great line. He says, Kissinger, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Greenspan.
And there is the American tragedy.
Well, I mean, it's what's interesting about this is some of your listeners may think, oh, this is all well and good, kind of a history lesson, but what does it have to do with today? Well, what it has to do with today is, as you well know, the American public has written the CIA basically a blank check now. And this president, of all presidents, is cashing it. He's conducting more covert, clandestine, paramilitary operations since the days of JFK.
And he's just killed a couple of American citizens and everybody's cheering.
Well, the crazy part about this is, I mean, maybe she's not the only one to talk, but at least Jane Harman and a few others have said, what are the rules of engagement? What is the policy? Or what are we afraid of? An extraordinary person, and actually who's a family friend, is the great Patrick Leahy, senator from Vermont, head of judiciary. When I interviewed him, I said, well, why is everybody so scared of these secrets? And he said, yeah, what are we afraid of? Right. And if what you're afraid of is the truth, or if what you're afraid of is that we as collective Americans will decide that, you know, we're not going to engage in certain things, then so be it. But don't hide it from us. And right now it's like it's all being hidden and the Congress is just not willing to even talk about these things.
Well, Kyle Coby, we've run out of time here, but I thank you for joining us in the studio. And again, Kyle Coby, award-winning documentary filmmaker, his new film, The Man Nobody Knew, In Search of My Father, CIA Spymaster William Comey. It opens tomorrow at the New Art in West Los Angeles. And again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I would like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available at ianmasters.com. You can also sign up for podcasts and contact me there. And I'll be back again on Sunday with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.